So, yay. The first full day. You're still here. Yay. Great. The first day is often the rockiest. Settling in, arriving, the monkey mind, and all of that. And again, be gentle with yourself. You're still arriving. So tonight's talk, the main topic will be mindfulness of the body. As we mentioned, the theme for the retreat is mindfulness of the body as a doorway to wisdom and compassion. And I'd like to talk about that. Before I get to that, I'd like to talk just a little bit, provide a little bit of support for settling in to the retreat, since today is the first day of the retreat. One thing that really supports me when I'm on retreat, and also when I'm teaching a retreat, I don't see teaching a retreat being that different from sitting a retreat, in the following way, in the way that I also need to be in touch with my intention. Why am I here? Why am I doing this? There's so many things I could be doing. There's so many things you could be doing with your precious time, with your precious life. Why are you here? And asking that question, when I ask that question and drop in, it helps me connect, it helps me be more present and more authentic. Why do I practice? Why am I here? For me, this is the most precious and valuable way I found to be fully human. To be achingly human. Being human isn't easy. And it's the best way I found to become in touch with who I want to be, what I want to be in life, the legacy that I want to leave, the kind of person I want to be in this world. And being present, training my mind to be present and open and not be caught in a particular perspective, but to be open, is really the path of practice that this tradition has opened up for me. I'd like to share a quote from Jack Kornfield. He says, "In the stress and complexity of our lives, we may forget our deepest intentions. But when people come to the end of their life and look back, the questions that they most often ask are not usually, 'How much is in my bank account?' or 'How many books did I write?' or 'What did I build?' or the like. If you have the privilege of being with a person who is aware at the time of his or her death, you find the questions such a person asks are very simple. 'Did I love well? Did I live fully? Did I learn to let go?' So I ask you, as you're sitting, perhaps close your eyes for just a moment, if you wish, or with your eyes open, and get in touch with, why are you here? Why have you brought yourself to this retreat? What is your highest intention? As a human being, living this short and precious life in this body, this time around. What is your highest intention in life? Who do you want to be? What kind of a legacy do you want to leave as your imprint on the world? Now I invite you to take a deep breath, let go of whatever answer came back, and now ask the question one more time. Let it land more deeply and see what comes up this time as you drop in the question into the depth of your being. One more time. What is most worthy of your time and attention? And how do you want to be in this world? Not just what you want to do with your time, but how do you want to do it? The how may be even more important than the what. Your intention is what you can come back to over and over at the beginning of every sit and every walk, in the middle of every sit and every walk, to keep you connected to the why you are here for you, why this is important. So you can open your eyes if you wish, having contacted your intention. And I often encourage people at the beginning of a retreat to write their intention down. Again, there's a difference between intention, aspiration, and expectation. Expectation can be a weighty, can come from an egoic place, but intention, aspiration, is what lifts you up, is what lifts your heart. Whereas expectation can wear you down, can weigh you down, because you expect this and that to happen. And if it doesn't happen, you'll be disappointed. Whereas aspiration, intention, is a lifting up. Ah, that's my aspiration. That is my highest intention. So be mindful of the difference. So I do suggest people write down if they like, even though we don't encourage people. We actually discourage retreatants from journaling and writing because it gets the mind really going on retreat. But maybe just writing one sentence of what your intention is and leaving it in your room might be helpful, just to check in. So with that, I have an acronym for you to help support your sitting and walking, your practice, to bring warmth, to bring fire The acronym is actually FIRE, F-I-R-E, and the I is the intention. So getting in touch with your intention regularly throughout the retreat. When you every sit, maybe while you're sitting, at the beginning of every sit, bringing the intention back to mind. And maybe when your mind starts to waver and you start to lose the fire, you start to lose that the drive, remind yourself, why is this important? Remind yourself. So going to the beginning of the acronym, the F is friendliness. F, friendliness. Can I be friendless with this too? Whatever comes up in the moment, can I meet this moment with friendliness? Can I be friendly with this too? And sometimes the answer may be no. No, I don't like this pain. I want it to go away. I can't be friendly towards it. And that's fine. Then ask the question, can I be friendly towards not being friendly? And see if the answer can be, okay, can I hold my not being friendly, not being aversive, can I be friendly with that? Can I hold that with ease? So asking yourself, can I meet this moment, whatever is arising, can I meet it with kindness? Can I meet it with friendliness? And I'm using friendliness and kindness synonymously here. Can I meet it with kindness? Can I meet it with friendliness? Fire. F for friendliness. I for intention, getting in touch with your intention. R, as we've been emphasizing already, is relaxation. Relax, relax, relax. We can't emphasize it enough. Relaxing. When you relax the body, the mind can relax. Relax is synonymous with softening, accepting, letting go. Whenever you're in a bind, whenever you don't know what to do, relax. Relax the mind, relax the body. It seems like it's such an interesting instruction. When you forget all instructions, just relax. Soften. Let go, embrace, accept. It's okay. Embrace the moment. So the E in fire is for the secret I shared with you this morning. The secret is enjoy. If you learn to enjoy the practice, if you learn to enjoy your meditation on the cushion, when you're walking, when you're sitting, when you're eating, when you get to really take delight in being present, then you want to do it. When there is a should, when we feel like we have to, then we have to force ourselves to do something. But when we enjoy something, we continue to do it. So finding the joy, finding the delight, is really the key. Have you seen children when they enjoy doing something, or even yourself, when you enjoy reading a book, or if you have a hobby, when you enjoy doing an activity, you can't be stopped, right? It's the joy, it's the infinite play, it's an infinite game, you just enjoy doing it. It's the same with meditation. When you enjoy it, you feel like, oh, I can just sit here and I'm observing my body, I'm observing my mind, I'm being present. It's a fun ride. It can be really, really joyous. Even when it's hard, even when it's not easy, it can still be fun. And I'll leave that as a riddle for you to figure out yourself. I'll talk a little more about that, for what it means for me in some cases. So just to review the acronym that I came up this morning, it's a new acronym just for you, for fire for your practice. F for friendliness, kindness. Can I be friendly towards this moment? This too, can I meet it with kindness, friendliness? I, connecting with your intention early and often. during every sit, every walking period. R for relaxation. Relax, soften as you're sitting right now. Your body can be totally relaxed. You can soften your body and let yourself absorb, let the words just wash over you. Notice if there's any parts of your body that are tense, and soften and relax. And E for enjoyment. See if you can find a way to fall in love with what you're doing here, the meditation, the process. Find the joy in it. Find the delight in breathing. Find the delight in walking. So with that, I'd like to now more formally talk about what I promised I would talk about, which is mindfulness of the body. So we often ignore our bodies. We abuse our bodies. Sometimes we overwork. We don't get enough sleep. We sometimes don't like our bodies. We like the body to look different. So if illness and pain shows up, sometimes we feel angry. We feel betrayed by our bodies. There's so many complicated relationships that we can have with our bodies. James Joyce has a famous line in one of his books. Mr. Duffy lived a short distance from his body. Many of us live a short distance from our bodies. We're not quite connected. We're in thoughts. We live in thoughts, not really grounded. So mindfulness of body has been a huge part of my practice. And as Richard and I were talking before this retreat and discussing themes, I shared with him that especially recently, I think for a long time, but especially recently, I've been contemplating mindfulness of the body even more. And as many of you already know, I have a chronic illness that I've had a lot of pain in my body. So actually, mindfulness of the body has been my refuge to work with the pain, to work with all the chronic pain that I've had. If it wasn't for the mindfulness of the body, I don't know how I would have been able to work with so much discomfort in the body, which seems paradoxical, doesn't it? And there are times that there's been so much discomfort in my body that my mind just wanted to get away. The last place my mind wanted to go, just wanted to distract. Okay, let's check out Facebook. Let's read. Let's do this. The body's so uncomfortable. Don't want to go there. But actually, staying with the body, bringing the attention and resting on the body. At first, it's hard because the mind keeps wanting to go away. But when the mind rests on the body, then in the midst of the storm, the storm of discomfort and pain, there can be incredible peace in the midst of it, which again seems counterintuitive. But I'll talk more about that, but just to say that this practice has been quite intimate for me and quite an opening in so many ways. So In the teachings, in the suttas, the Buddha emphasized mindfulness of the body quite a bit. In Anguttara Nikaya 121, the Buddha states, "There is one thing, monks, that cultivated and regularly practiced And by the way, monks refers to all of us now because we're practicing. So it's monks, it's practitioners. I'll read it again. There is one thing, practitioners, that cultivated and regularly practiced leads to a deep state of urgency, to the supreme peace, to mindfulness and clear comprehension, to the attainment of right vision and knowledge, to happiness here and now, to realizing deliverance by wisdom and the fruition of holiness. It is mindfulness of the body. That is quite high praise. In Majjhima Nikaya 36, the Buddha says, if the body is not mastered by meditation, the mind cannot be mastered. If the body is mastered, mind is mastered. So really, mindfulness of the body is the key to mindfulness of mind. And in fact, in the Satipatthana Sutta, which is the four foundations of mindfulness, which is the main sutta in Majjhima Nikaya, the teachings, that most of the instructions that we give on a retreat and most of the mindfulness instructions that you have received in various contexts, they come from Satipatthana Sutta, which is called the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. It's dead. Tell you what, I can fix it for you. Okay. So, in the Satipatthana Sutta, in the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, the first foundation is mindfulness of the body. The first foundation, the body, is really the basis for all the other practices, mindfulness of the body. Through that, through becoming in touch and aware of the body, then we can become in touch and become aware of the second foundation, which is Vedana, or feeling tone, mindfulness of feeling tone. Mindfulness of mind, which is the third foundation, and mindfulness of mental objects or mind objects or dhammas, which is the fourth foundation. So the first foundation, the body, really is the basis for these practices. And actually, the first foundation alone, mindfulness of the body alone, can serve us as a practice to go all the way to liberation, to nibbana, with this practice alone, and open up to complete liberation, wisdom, and compassion. I'll talk a little more about that also. So, in the practical level, when we meditate, we want to be present, we want to pay attention, observe. Meditation, as you already know, but just to reiterate, is not to completely blank out and have no thoughts. You can't do that. You can't have a blank mind. You have to give your mind something to do. It's like telling you not to think of the purple elephant, have a blank mind. Well, the only thing you can think of is a purple elephant when I say that. So with working with the mind, you need to train the mind. You need to train the mind and give something for the mind to do and to train with. The same way that, for example, you go to the gym, you have weights that you work with. And mindfulness of body is the object that the mind can stay with and can be present to. And being present with the body, which is not so subtle, is coarse, is always here, is not so subtle as thoughts or emotions that are fleeting and come and go. But the body is right here as you're sitting in your seats. You can feel your bottom on the cushion, can't you? It's not that hard. You just have to turn your mind to it. You can feel the pressure. You can feel maybe some heat. You can feel tightness. Anyone who cannot feel their bottom sitting right now? It's available, isn't it? It's easy. You just have to turn your mind to it. It's right there. It's right there. So the body serves both as a ballast, for the mind, as well as a doorway to wisdom and compassion. So the word ballast, it's a heavy material such as gravel, sand, and iron or lead placed low in a vessel to improve stability. The second definition I found, something that gives stability as in character or conduct. I love that. So something heavy, heavy material, ballast, placed low in a vessel to improve stability. Okay, isn't that great to think of the body as our ballast to increase the stability of our mind? Because our minds, as we well know, may not be very stable all the time. They get fleeting here and there and everywhere. Hey, we have a great ballast right here. We all have it. We carry it around with us. Use it. Use it wisely. You have a fantastic ballast to add stability, to your mind. One image that often comes up for me is I don't know if you've seen these, there are these dolls that are these pop-up dolls, and they're pretty large, and on the bottom they have a ballast, they have a lot of sand, and if you kind of beat them, they go whoop, and then they stand up again, because they have heavy sand on the bottom. They have a ballast. You can be that pop-up doll. If a memory throws you over, if you have the mindfulness of the body, you'll be right back up. So mindfulness of the body can really serve as a ballast to stabilize, to bring the mind back, to bring stability, really to bring stability in so many ways. It's also as I mentioned, besides serving as a ballast, which already I think is an amazing function, mindfulness of the body. And what I actually like to do recently, I think for the last year, as I've been teaching retreats, I've been emphasizing mindfulness of the body more and more and more. Because what I've been noticing is if that practice is emphasized, the mind tends to get more stable, much more stable when you keep bringing it back, to this ballast. Oh, stability. And see that for yourself on this retreat. See what it feels like when you keep bringing the mind back, when it gets fleeting, and see after you do that for a few days and you train your mind that way. It's not going to happen overnight, and nothing happens overnight, as you know, in this practice, but you will see the difference. You will see the difference with the ballast. It can really create this stability to the mind. The mind can be so calm. Going back to the definition, this, if you think of yourself as this vessel, just can be stable and moving through the world with so much stability, with stability in the mind. So in addition to that, mindfulness of the body serves, as we mentioned, as the theme for this retreat, is a doorway to open up to compassion and wisdom. Both compassion for yourself, as in self-compassion, as well as compassion for others. Because as you start to become more and more present with the body, be more present with the body, you start to develop more compassion. Your mind starts to open up to the common humanity that, oh, we all have a body. Wow, this body, it ages, it gets old, it gets sick, it aches, and that's the condition for everyone. Nobody, no human being is immune to that. And really being in touch with that from that level, from the inside, instead of from the outside of seeing your body, I don't like my body, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm too this, I'm too that. It's a different way of relating to your body, not from the outside, but from the inside. You get to be more intimate. You get to be more kind, more gentle. Oh, this body that has served me for so long. Oh, this body. So it can open your heart in ways that you can experience firsthand after you really are gentle and kind and patient with the body. It can open you up to kindness and compassion for yourself, as well as seeing that we're all in the same boat of having pain and aging and dying. Recently, last weekend actually, I did a day long at Spirit Rock. It was a day long combining mindfulness and improv. It was called Mindfulness, Improv, and Freedom. And as a part of that, I did an exercise with the participants where I invited people to walk around and take on different bodies. I invited them to imagine they were 5 years old. What does it feel like if you're 5 years old? Take on a five-year-old body. And people, all of a sudden, they were jumping and they were happy and they were joyous and they had five-year-old bodies. And then I asked them, imagine now you have a 100-year-old body, and people were walking around with brittleness and very slow. I asked them to imagine they're ballerina and they're really enjoying being in their body, and they're just, the room was transformed. People were prancing about and enjoying moving, and it was so much fun to watch people. Then I asked them to imagine they had physical pain everywhere. Every step they took, there was pain everywhere. And they were trying not to let anybody else know, but they were walking in the world with a lot of pain. And it's interesting, through these exercises, I could see there were many tears flowing, people really opening up in that moment to the compassion they've had. Afterwards, people, I invited them to share what came up for them. One young man talked about how his grandmother actually was recently passed after being 100 years old, and how much pain she went through. And going through this exercise really opened him up to, oh, how difficult it must have been to walk around with a 100-year-old body that is frail and is hurting everywhere. So all of that, the five-year-old body, the 100-year-old body, the body that's moving and we delight in its movement, the body that is achy, all of that is in us. We all have all of these experiences. And if we haven't had them, we will. So mindfulness of the body from the inside can open you up to compassion, both for yourself and for others, for this being human. Mindfulness of the body can also open you up to wisdom. it can make you much more present. You can come into the present moment through the doorway of the body. In fact, the doorway of the body is the best doorway I have found to become present. Become very present right here, right now. Again, I invite you, just as you're sitting and listening to me, feel your body, feel your bottom on the chair, on the cushion, your legs, your feet, your back. Feel your hands. Feel the space around you in the room. Feel your breath moving through your body. The sensations of breathing, of being, the tingling, the warmth. Everything there is, the rawness of being human, this ballast, this precious, precious ballast, can make you instantly present right here. It's like a ballast that ties us, that lands us heavily in right here, right now, in this moment, this body. The body, mindfulness of the body, is also how we can come in touch with emotions, because emotions, they show up in the body as much as, or even more than, I may claim, they show up in our mind. The emotions have ramifications in our body. When you feel angry, your heart starts to go fast, maybe your palms get sweaty, maybe your face reddens, etc. It all shows up in the body. You can tell what's happening. You can really, really process and become in touch with emotions much more than the storyline that's in the head. Like, I did this, they did that, blah, 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 blah. But just in the body, oh, it's anger arising. Oh, what's under that? Oh, look, there's a heaviness. There is sadness. Oh, my chest feels really heavy. Oh, there's sadness. I was disappointed. That's why I'm so angry. I'm still hurt. Feel that. Because if you just stay in the story, you can never completely be in touch with what's underneath. And the body gives you everything you need to know. Has much more information than the storyline in your head. In fact, for mindfulness of emotions, we invite you to let go of the story and really pay attention to the sensations in the body and see what's underneath, what is happening, and be with those and hold and accept whatever is arising. Your body can be your biggest teacher. For gaining wisdom, for having insights, both insights with small I about your life, about your personal life, as well as insights with capital I about the way things are. Pain, for example, can be a very big teacher because pain, physical pain, also, if we learn how to work with physical pain, we can learn how to work with emotional pain. And in fact, physical pain is an easier sandbox than emotional pain. Pain is pain. Of course, not to sit with unnecessary pain, as Richard advised us this morning. So as you're meditating, as you're sitting, if you're uncomfortable on a cushion, you don't have to sit on the floor. You can sit on a chair. And there is a time that you can experiment and see what your edge is. There are times that you can sit with the pain. If it's not dangerous pain usually lets you know. You have to listen to the pain. Okay, is it the knee? Does it feel like it's just falling asleep? Is it just my leg falling asleep? What does it feel like? Have to be mindful. Oh, it feels like, no, I can sit. This is familiar. I know what this is like. Or it could be, no, this doesn't feel safe. I need to move. And then, please, definitely move. Don't push pain that is dangerous or edgy. With the pain that feels safe, like, oh yeah, it's just falling asleep. I know what this is. When I get up, it goes away. It can be an interesting sandbox for mindfulness of body also, because pain is often very intense sensation. So your mind doesn't want to go away. It's actually, it can be, sometimes pain can be great concentration object because it can be so intense that the mind cannot go anywhere else. It's so intense that everything else fades compared to this strong, intense sensation in the body. So staying with the sensation, and then the mind can see the separation, the difference between sensation, raw sensation, which can be throbbing, can be heat, can be pulling. That's one thing the mind can see. And then the mind can see, oh, there is unpleasantness associated with the pain and with the sensation. So there is sensation, raw sensation. There is unpleasantness associated with it. Oh, it's throbbing and it's unpleasant. And then the other aspect, the third aspect is, oh, I don't like it, is the aversion. So it's the raw sensation. There is the unpleasantness. And then there's the reaction to it. I don't like it. Make it go away. These things are separate. And again, having had a lot of experience with physical pain that I couldn't avoid by just moving and shifting my posture, I wish it was that easy. It's so interesting because when the mind separates these aspects, the mind can then be with the raw sensation that is throbbing, and sometimes the mind can just see that raw sensation as interesting, like, wow, that is intense sensation. I haven't experienced anything like this for a long time. Check that out. That's pretty wild. Not always, but that can happen. And it can be separate from unpleasant. And the mind can make peace with unpleasant. Oh, unpleasant is just unpleasant. It's just unpleasant. I don't have to lose my peace. It's just unpleasant. I can be with unpleasant. I can be friendly with the unpleasant. Oh, hi, unpleasant. Okay, here you are again. Unpleasant, unpleasant, unpleasant. You can note it. Unpleasant, still unpleasant, unpleasant, unpleasant. It doesn't bother you anymore. The bothering is really that third aspect, is you hate it, you want it to go away. Now, why is this happening to me? This is terrible. Why did I do to myself? This is somebody else's fault. The stories go on and on and on. And it's that part that really hurts the most. The other two, the mind can hold. Even in the midst of a lot of unpleasant sensations, the mind can find peace in the midst of that. And I wouldn't tell you if it wasn't possible. And the mind can actually have a lot of peace even when there is so much going on physically. It takes some time. It's not easy. Sometimes the mind has to be coaxed to come back. Okay, come back, come back. No, I don't want to be with this pain. Okay, come back. I want to check out. I want to completely check out. Come back, come back. Stay, and then you stay. Oh, and it starts to then, look at that. It's just sensations. Oh, look, it's just unpleasant. Oh, and then I don't like it. and then it starts to kind of dissolve. And it's much easier to be with. It opens up to wisdom. It opens up to insight because you see things much more clearly. You see things a lot more clearly instead of being duped by this compactness. Pain, I don't like it, it's terrible. It's like, oh, it's all these different separate things that I wasn't noticing before. And similarly, the same thing with emotions. So when you can make friends with physical pain, similar with emotional pain, you can see it in the body. You can make friends with the sensations in the body. What is underneath it? I don't like it. Oh, what is that? Oh, it's a sensation. It's unpleasant. It's that. It gives you more space. It gives you being with mindfulness of the body and working with pain can give you a lot more spaciousness to be with painful emotions. So to wrap up, actually one last thing I want to say also, and later we can expand on this, is mindfulness of the body also opens up to insights to impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and not self, anicca, dukkha, anatta, which are the three marks of existence. So I'll just leave that as a teaser, and we'll talk about that later on the retreat. So the way to do mindfulness of the body is to be with the raw sensations. As I've advised you through this talk, to feel the raw sensations. It's not the idea of the body, but it's the raw sensations. What does it feel like? Oh, it's hot. It's heavy. Just having curiosity. If you were just dropped into this body, you're a Martian, and you just dropped into this body just now. And now you have to write a report for your Martian friends, what it's like to be in a human body. From that curiosity, from that openness and a sense of awe, like, wow, what is it like to be in a human body? Check that out. Hardness, how do I describe to my Martian friends what hardness sitting on a cushion feels like? It's interesting, right? When you see it, feel it from the inside. Again, raw sensations. Again, not so much words. In that example, I didn't want to confuse giving too many words, but just really raw sensations of what does it feel like being in this body. And notice when you are not connected to your body. That can be your guide for the next few days, for the next day, or to today and tomorrow. Notice when you're not connected to your body, when you're in stories, when you're not feeling your body. For example, notice if you're meditating, if you're actually leaning forward in thought into the next moment. Notice if for dinner time, if you're walking two steps in front of you trying to get dinner. Just notice when you're not connected to your body, but you're ahead of yourself or you're behind yourself. I want to end with an excerpt from the Theragatha. This is from Ananda. This poem was written by Ananda. It was by Ananda. So Ananda was Buddha's attendant. And when the Buddha passed away, I'll just read it to you. Actually, you can close your eyes and let this just wash over you if you wish. All the directions are obscure. The teachings are not clear to me. With our benevolent friend gone, it seems as if all is darkness. For one whose friend has passed away, one whose teacher is gone for good, there is no friend that can compare with mindfulness of the body. There is no friend that can compare with the mindfulness of the body. Thank you for your kind attention. And remember, fire and mindfulness of the body.